Okay, so we're in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and talking about refreshment. All right, and down in verse number 15, Paul here is in a Roman prison and he's waiting execution. And verse 15 says, "Thou," he's writing to Timothy, his young preacher friend. He says, "This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. And the Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, and in many and how many things he ministered unto me in at Ephesus, thou knowest very well." So here's a man that came looking for Paul when he was in prison and ministered to him. And it says that he refreshed him. You know, that's that word refresh caught my attention, and I got to pondering that, looked up information about it, and there's a lot in this verse that we can really benefit from that can help us, because we need to learn to be like Paul, or like Onesiphorus. I have a hard time saying his name the right way. It's, the emphasis is supposed to be on the PH there. Onesiphorus. Anyway, I'll mess it up, but it's a tongue twister. But he refreshed Paul. Right now, how did he do this? So when you see something like that, you ask yourself, how did he go about doing that? What did he do to try to refresh Paul? Well, first of all, he spent time with Paul. You know, Paul was there in prison. And remember, the first time he was in prison, where was he? We know for sure where he, what kind of a prison he was in when he was in this, after Caesarea, and he went there for 2 years, and he spent 2 years there in prison. What kind of a prison was the first one? Anybody remember?
House arrest.
Yeah, it was more of a house arrest. He was chained to a guard, but he was, because he was a Roman citizen, he had the privilege of being in a section of the prison where he could provide his own food, provide his own clothes, have friends come in, and he could have some visitors, but he couldn't leave. This time we don't know. Most people assume that Paul was now in the dungeon. Maybe the Maritime Dungeon. It was a terrible place. Smelly, rank, hot, terrible place. But there's some indications even in our text that makes me wonder if that's really where he was. But we'll talk about that later as we work our way through. But he's in prison. And he's waiting for execution. I mean, it's just weeks perhaps before he's going to be executed. And he's writing this letter to Timothy, his younger mentor, mentoree that he had mentored. And we ask ourselves, well, who was with Paul? Well, he tells us there in verse 15 that everybody in Asia had left him, including Phygellus and Hermogenes. They had left him. And he seems pretty discouraged about that. Later on in the book, in chapter 4, in verse 11, actually in verse 10, chapter 4, verse 10, he says, "For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, Titus to Domitia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable unto me for the ministry." Now, think about that. What did he just say? He said, all these guys have left me, but who was with him?
Luke
was with him. Now, if he was in the dank dungeon, how was Luke with him? Did Luke actually go down there in that filthy, stinking dungeon and spend time with Paul? Possible. Or maybe because Paul was a Roman citizen, you know, the Roman citizens did have more rights than just the average Joe. It's possible that he was again in some sort of a house arrest where he was chained up but couldn't leave. He indicates that he's had visitors. I mean, this is what this whole little passage is about. He's got a visitor. This visitor was Onesiphorus. And so he's visiting him and refreshing him. So there's things that we don't really know for sure, but most of Paul's friends had forsaken him. Only Luke was with him, and Onesiphorus had been with him. Now, he had been there, but he was no longer present with him. You know, so the indication is that he did often refresh me, but he's not there now. All right, now, when we think about this, why did Paul pray this? Notice what he says here. So he says in verse 16 again, "The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus." Well, that's a strange way of putting it. Why is that a strange way of wording that? The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus. Sorry?
He might have died.
Maybe.
More than just Onesiphorus.
Yeah, I mean, he's asking God to bless his house. Now, when his house, it isn't... I mean, it can refer to a building, but in most contexts, it's talking about a household or a family or your family relations. And he says here, "Have mercy on the house of Onesiphorus." And once again, we see the same thing over in 4:16. No, it wasn't 4:16. Let me see here. Okay, I'll find it again. So, I don't see it right now. I'll show it to him when I find it. But in later on, he also mentions Onesiphorus again. The second time he mentions, he's only mentioned twice in the whole Bible. And when he mentions him again,
419.
Thank you. Yeah. The household of Onesiphorus again. All right. So once again, he's telling, you know, salute Prisca and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. So it almost sounds like maybe this guy had passed away. It is a possibility. A lot of people kind of suspect that maybe he was no longer alive. And so he's asking God to have mercy upon the household of Onesiphorus. Now, think about that too. He didn't say, "God, give him a good day." He said, "God, have mercy on him." The word mercy there is a word that describes God's kindness and goodwill toward the miserable and afflicted, joined with the desire to relieve them. So he's praying that God would relieve the afflicted of the household of Onesiphorus. So there's a lot of things that kind of sound like maybe the guy died. Doesn't tell us why. Doesn't tell us anything about it, but that is a possibility. But we go on there, and it says that he refreshed him and was not ashamed of my chain. Now, why would somebody be ashamed of Paul's chain?
Because he was on the wrong side of the Romans.
Okay, well, yeah, that's true. He's on the wrong side of the Romans.
And he's a prisoner,
yeah. Yeah, he was a prisoner.
But
the wrong side of the Jews.
Well, you know, stop and think about it. If I was Paul and I was in prison and I was waiting execution and I was a federal criminal,
you don't want to be involved.
That's it. That's it. You know, I mean, I think a lot of these guys were ashamed in the sense that, yeah, I love you, Paul, but man, if I come in there and let them know that I'm on your side, you know, I may be in there with you. Yeah, and there was a lot of possibilities of that. So I think that a lot of the shame probably was linked to the fact that Paul was in a bad situation. Not only that, but if Paul was in the dungeon, you'd have to really, really want to visit him, to go see him there. I mean, those places were filthy. You know, stench, you know, feces all over the place, rats and vermin, and just a rotten, filthy, stinking place. And, you know, to go to that kind of a place, it'd be a humiliating thing, no matter how much you love Paul. it was a tough place to go visit. So we see, first of all, you know, that to refresh Paul, he spent time with Paul. So we know that he was there, he spent time with Paul, and it says that he refreshed him. Now, he met Paul's needs. This is another way that he refreshed him. And it's, Paul says it in verse 16 again, that for he oft refreshed me. What's oft mean?
Often.
Often. So he says it wasn't just once. Often he refreshed me. So he would... Evidently, he came and spent time with Paul regularly. Now, the word refreshed, what do we mean by refresh? I mean, we have an idea in our English, and then we'll look at what the Greek says. But what would it mean to refresh somebody in English?
Motivated? Encouraged?
Yeah, it could be. If you're talking about the emotional side or the spiritual side, yes, motivated or encouraged. Physically, like as I illustrated in the beginning, when we got refreshed after hot, dusty work in the hay, we were refreshed physically by cooling off, washing our face with water, and getting the junk out of our nose, and having a good big drink of cold water. That was refreshing. So here he says, he often refreshed Paul. The word in the Greek literally means to cool again. To cool again. To cool him down. Now, literally, if it was, we're talking about physical refreshment in that sense, it may be that he took Paul fresh water each day. Or it may be it was so hot and stifling down in that wretched dungeon that he just actually took a fan with him, you know, and fanned him a bit and says, let me just cool you down a bit. You're just sweating all the time. And it could be in a literal sense. I think there may have been some of the literal aspect to it as well as the spiritual aspect to it, where he was actually there trying to build him up and encourage him. And, you know, this was not a... Paul was a tough guy, and he was strong in the faith, but he was facing execution. And it was not going to be easy. It was not going to be fun. It was going to be terrible. And the Romans, you know, the fact that he was a Roman citizen was on his side. But even Roman citizens that were accused of bad crimes were killed in barbaric ways. And Paul was going to be executed. And that couldn't have been any enjoyable thought. And so maybe Onesiphorus would come and spend time with him and just cheer him up and encourage him. And maybe they'd sit and quote scriptures together. Or maybe they'd go over the Bible together. Maybe they'd pray together. Maybe they'd just spend time pondering the things of the Lord together to build him up and encourage him and to just help him with these things. Just the fellowship with him there would be encouraging, because Paul was lonely. I mean, he was disappointed that Demas had left him and these other guys had gone away and only Luke was there. And it wasn't like Luke was a nobody, but he missed his other friends. And so this was a challenging time for him. And he often then went and refreshed him. Dwight Edwards, a commentator, make this statement. He says, in spite of personal danger and repeated sacrifice, Onesiphorus made his way to Rome and there refreshed the heart and soul of his beloved friend Paul. Onesiphorus is an outstanding example of genuine love and true friendship. So here's a man that went out of his way to be a blessing to Paul. And as we think about that, as we ask ourselves, well, what can we learn from that? You know, all of us have a built-in selfishness that we look after ourselves, but we have to work at looking after others and caring for others. I mean, that's just part of our human nature. And here's a man who stepped out of his comfort zone and he says, I'm going to go and be a blessing to Paul. Paul's not got long to live. He's not going to get out of there alive. I'm going to try to be an encouragement to him. I'm going to try to be a blessing to him. And he went and refreshed him. You know, in our context, you know, you find somebody that's having a difficult time, they're in a bad way, you know, maybe they've gotten in trouble, or maybe they haven't done anything wrong, but maybe they're dying of a sickness, or whatever the case may be. we can be a help and a blessing. It may be something like an email, a phone call, you know, stopping in and having a cup of tea with them, just chatting with them, sharing scripture, praying together. Sometimes it may be even a physical thing that we can do for them, just to be a physical blessing to them. You know, I think of our brother Tim, you know, as he's not doing all that well. You know, he's having a hard time. And he's told me 2 weeks ago, he told me, Pastor, he says, I want you to, he says, this week I probably won't be strong enough to have you come over, but I want to call you on the phone. And then the next week I want you to come over. Well, he never had the strength to even call me on the phone last week, and he hasn't called me and said I'm okay to come over. And I can't just barge in there because he's just exhausted all the time. So, you know, he needs encouragement, but he loves the encouragement. You know, so there's something here. You know, we can refresh one another in times like that by just being there for them and letting them know that we're praying for them and encouraging them, even an email or, you know, something simple, just to let them know, hey, I'm praying for you. So Onesiphorus here, he met Paul's needs. He also went to great effort to help Paul. Verse number 17 says that when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. Now, what can we gain from that? He sought me out very diligently and found me. What's that tell us?
He was persistent in finding.
He was persistent. All right. What else does it tell us?
He's someone that cares.
Okay, he cared. Yep. What else? What's it tell us about Paul?
He was in need.
He was in need. What else?
Also the value of Paul, I mean.
Okay.
He's important enough to want to be found.
Okay. He was hard to find. All right, that's another thing. So this guy had to look really hard to find Paul. He knew he was in prison. But maybe he still had to go past all these different guards and through all this, you know, red tape to try to find, you know, that Paul the prisoner. Where is he at? Oh, we don't know where he is. Get out of here. You know, and I need to find this guy. And he worked diligently until he found out where Paul was. And it was because he was valuable and because he was important and because he had a need. You're right, all these things were true. But it says he sought him out very diligently to seek for him, search for him diligently until he found him. And why he was in Rome, we don't know. Maybe he was in Rome there for that purpose, but it doesn't say that. It says when he was in Rome, he sought me out. Maybe he was there on business. Onesiphorus was from Ephesus, and we know Ephesus where Paul had spent quite a bit of time. That's where the big riot was there in Ephesus, and this man had come to know the Lord evidently there, and so Paul knew him, and he's now went to Rome, maybe looking for Paul, maybe on business, but he searched diligently until he found Paul. He was in a Roman prison. I've got a couple of quotations here about the Roman prisons that just help enlighten us a bit. Finally, when he was later arrested and executed, likely a few years after this letter, Paul was probably placed in an underground cell somewhere in Rome. It is possible that he was then imprisoned in the Roman Maritime Prison in the Roman Forum. All right, so that is a possibility. Another author says this: conditions in ancient prisons were often harsh. Many prisoners wore chains. Their feet might be shackled, their hands mangled, or even attached to their neck by another chain, and their movements further restricted by a chain fastened to a post. The existence of laws prohibiting chains that were too short or too restrictive indicates that such practices were employed often enough to merit regulation. The very word chains becomes a synonym for imprisonment. Some prisoners were also kept in wooden stocks, devices to restrain their feet, hands, or even neck of an individual. Acts 16:24. Prisons were often very dark. Isaiah 42:7. The inner area of the prison mentioned in Acts 16:24 was probably without windows. Although solitary confinement was known, prisoners generally were kept grouped together, accused and condemned, men and women alike. Overcrowding was not infrequent. Prisons often had poor air circulation, lack of hygienic facilities, rats and vermin, and food of poor quality. Unscrupulous guards often might at times use withholding of food or even outright torture to extort money from prisoners or their relatives. It wasn't a pretty picture. So whether Paul was in the dungeon or whether he was in the house arrest, it's hard to say. Most people believe he's in a dungeon area the second time. But even in those kind of situations, were visitors allowed? Were people able to go in and see them? I don't know. That's why I question whether that was where he was. But whatever it was, he was alone, he was lonely, he was discouraged, and he was greatly appreciative of this Onesiphorus who came to see him. And he searched him out diligently to find him. You know, even if Paul, being a Roman citizen, was fortunate enough to be held in the hired house, finding him and getting permission to see him was a risky thing. And these guys were taking a chance. You know, were they going to be thrown in there with him? Were they going to be executed with him? Were they going to be tortured with him? That is a real possibility. And then Paul prayed that he would find mercy. Look at verse 18. This is also a very interesting verse. The Lord grant unto him that he might find mercy of the Lord in that day. And in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. So what's he mean by in that day? What do you think that means?
Yeah,
it probably is. Most people would say that. Most people would say it's probably talking about the judgment seat of Christ, most likely. But as I looked at it, I thought, you know, it's possible. You know, he talked about, you know, praying for mercy for his family. It's possible that this guy's on death row too, and that he's going to be executed. And God grant him mercy in that day. It's a possibility. Paul doesn't specifically say that. But, and I admit that most commentators would say, no, it's probably talking about the judgment day. And it very well may be. But why would he say, grant him mercy on judgment day? Well, this guy's been a blessing to Paul. You'd think he would have said something like, may the Lord reward him abundantly on that day, instead of granting him mercy. That's why I think that there's that potential that granting him mercy may be referring to his execution day, that God would be merciful to him, that it wouldn't be a terrible torture. I don't know. But as we put all this together, I want you to get to know this man Onesiphorus. He's only mentioned two times in the scriptures, and these two times are times both mentioning him as a man who was a help and a blessing to Paul. And he was a refresher to Paul. And we need to ask ourselves, how well are we doing in that? And I had to, you know, as I studied through this and I pondered over it this morning in my devotions and also in my study time, I had to ask myself, am I doing my part in being a refresher? Do I find people that are struggling and try to build them up and encourage them? Do I help them? Am I a blessing to them? Do I go out of my way to be an encouragement and a help spiritually, physically, both? You know, these are things that we should do. And God wants us as believers to do that. And so I challenge you tonight to just take that with you, tuck that in your mind, and meditate upon this guy, Onesiphorus, and the fact that he often refreshed Paul. And Paul didn't forget it. It meant a lot to him. And you know, there are people around us, people in your circle of life, that you could refresh in some spiritual or physical or emotional way. And it would mean a great deal to them. And they won't forget it. Paul, it meant so much to Paul that he included it in the scriptures. And God saw that it was important for our learning, and he included it in the scriptures. So this was not just an empty action. It was an important thing. And so we need to ask God, Lord, show me how I can be a refresher to somebody. You know, there's sick people, there's elderly people. And one example, when I was reading through commentaries and things, one of them brought up this, that, you know, what about the elderly missionaries or elderly preachers or even elderly Christians that are no longer able to function like they used to? And maybe they're to the place where they're needing assistance, but they still remember and they still would enjoy a friend and an encourager and a refresher. And sometimes it's not as pleasant to be around that kind of situations. And it can be turn us off. We think, you know, I can think of a lot more enjoyable things to do than to go sit with somebody that's, you know, lost most of their abilities and they're just kind of sitting there and you think, I'd rather do something else. But here's a man who went out of his way to help Paul. Paul's an old man now. He's waiting for his execution. And Onesiphorus was a refresher to him. So let's ask God to just make us more like a refresher.